Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We've got some bagels, some danishes, some coffee, some tea.
Excuse me, I'm eating.
Tom, how's that Nutri-Grain bar? Good?
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tom from Perkasie's here. He's got his Kelly Green Eagles Cooper DeGene jersey on.
Yep.
So he's having a good time. And then we've got another guy who's wearing a McNabb jersey. So I'm really sure how I feel about that. Plus, he's got a Philly scarf on.
Oh, that's Jesus. Come up here for a
second. No,
Jesus. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Jesus from Philadelphia.
Jesus.
North Philadelphia, I believe.
Hey, man, come here.
You know, here's the thing, Liz, we were just talking about this, that we all feel like we're family.
Yeah.
But in many ways, we're on the phone together. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now we get to see your face.
Yeah.
So how was the trek from North Philadelphia? Rough or no? You were fine, right?
I live right next to I-95, so.
Oh, so you got here right easily?
Yeah, pretty easily. Yeah.
So
I even have a spare tire. Flat,
you obviously don't have you don't have a spare jersey either.
I wore my Jalen Hurts jersey yesterday.
Who is this? 2006?
Hey, he's my favorite quarterback. I mean,
I thought
really?
What about Nick Foles? He's the guy that won the Super Bowl.
I don't have a Nick Foles jersey.
Well, we got to get that taken care of. All right.
The truth is, this was a gift, and this is the only one.
I have a Carson Wentz jersey.
Stick that in a fireplace, brother.
Yeah. It was a Christmas gift. I can't get rid of it.
All right. Nice to meet you, though.
Nice to meet you, too.
So great to have you
in person.
Here.
Yes, right?
Absolutely.
Is that your wife, your girlfriend? Oh, very lovely. Very, very nice.
Well, we thought it was your girlfriend because, you know, she's young and gorgeous.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't want to assume anything, so yes. I just, you know.
Jesus has actually won the Morning Mystery Movie clip, I think, like 5 or 7 times.
Has he?
In the history of this show.
More than Kevin?
Well, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Might have to keep running tabs on the all-time win list here. Tom is here. He's got the bald head. He's actually dyed the goatee Kelly Green.
I didn't even notice that.
Which
wow, that
solid,
looks nice.
It's a solid look.
That looks nice. That's solid.
Yeah. Now you got to shave it off tomorrow and go back to normal.
No, I'm not going to shave it.
You're going to keep it until the season's over.
I'm going to keep the color on.
Okay.
It's a, you know, I got special people that take care of me, so.
Okay.
You have groomers?
Yeah.
Well, no. Go birds.
Go birds.
I just did it
good
yesterday.
Groomers.
And I was like going, I hope it's not going to be a jinx, but I have all the faith in the world that the Eagles are going to do it big, so I'll keep it here. I'd love to try to grow it out up top, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, same here.
By the way, Tom is going to take the flag from the Kale & Company flag.
That's right.
Sergeant Mark Fu should be here, I don't know, 9 o'clock or so.
Yeah, Fu said he's big on the 9 o'clock.
Yeah, he's like as late as you possibly can, whenever you want to come. So you're going to take it, and you're going to display it on your truck?
I have a Jeep. I actually have interviewed with Shark Tank a month and a half ago.
Nice.
About a flag mount that I have that I patent for my Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be on there. I drive around every day of the week with 3 flags on the back of my Jeep. Every day is a parade, and now we'll have a Kale & Company flag on.
Beautiful.
Woo!
Beautiful.
We were just talking about passing it around, so... Somebody's from Warrington, I think.
Yeah, there's a guy coming from Warrington. Ray, I think, or Warminster?
Warminster.
What
Ray's from Warminster.
Ray from Warminster. He's going to, we're going to have to. I got you and him confused. I thought it was you, and I talked to him on the air. So he'll get it after you. So
that's what I said. I said, we're close.
Yeah.
I drive, I deliver for a living, so it'll be no problem meeting up with the guys, and we'll get it all over Bucks County and Montgomery.
We're scheduling out to February, March.
It's true.
Awesome. You know, we're like an orthodontist.
You guys should have had some merch here.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, we
got
to talk to our promotions department. As you see, our promotions department is here.
Right here's the staff.
Where's Walter?
Everybody's like, but it's a holiday. We don't really want to work.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, it's cool.
All right. We have a lot still ahead this morning. The cut sheet is coming up in just about 35 minutes. Stocker will have that for you at 45.
By the way, Road Warriors here.
Yeah.
I forgot my bike. But no, hang on. But
he shakes his head.
I'm
here
going
comes
to
the excuse.
I'm kind of close, so I'm going to run back to my house and get it and come back. So,
okay,
he's going to run back to his house and never return.
That's not true. I'm definitely coming back.
We want to see the little baby Dylan.
Yes,
who's not a baby anymore.
Yeah,
that's right. All right, cut sheet in just over a half hour. Sean Farish live from Nashville at 8:30. We will get his inauguration perspective, both in and out of Trump character, and then Esty, who does the greatest Kamala Harris.
Yep.
She will join us at 9:30 in shame and defeat and tell us what's going through her mind, assuming she has sobered up. But right now, let's get to the news. Round number two. It's 7-11, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company. News live this Monday morning, January 20th, Inauguration Day. We are sponsored by Meineke today. We just want to update you on the Philadelphia police officer who was injured in stable condition after being struck by that vehicle at the South Philadelphia Sports Complex right before the Eagles clinched the win last night. We know that the driver who's accused of being under the influence, after the crash, police did apprehend that driver and arrested the driver. This happened on the 1000 block of Patterson Ave just before 6 p.m. as our Philadelphia Eagles played the Rams in the NFL playoffs.
Oh, this was before the game?
This was...
Oh, no, 6 o'clock.
6
it was,
o'clock.
It was after the game, okay.
So... We don't know if presumably this person were they tailgating?
I mean,
were they at a bar in the vicinity?
I mean,
seems like they might have been.
You can assume such things, right?
We're just, you know, we don't know for sure. We're not making any accusation, but in this case, as this alleged drunk driver was evading Pennsylvania State Police,
you can see the video on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it.
And so what happens is they attempt to pull this individual who was driving erratically, try to pull this individual over. Then the individual, you know, speeds off as they're speeding off. And this is in front of Patterson Ave, their 1000 block of Patterson Ave. Suddenly actually puts it in reverse. I don't know what the person, you know, was thinking. They don't even know what they're thinking this morning, what they were thinking this morning. Shoves it in reverse at a high speed, rams backwards into an officer with the traffic division who was assigned at that location, obviously prepping for the, you know, huge let out of all the Eagles fans, the traffic, etc. So we know that the officer was rushed to Jefferson Hospital. We only know that the officer, female officer, that she's in stable condition this morning. So hopefully she's recovering and okay. We know that the person driving was arrested. I don't have a list of the charges, actually, so not a lot of information on this. We'll try to bring that to you.
Hitting a police officer's car.
Striking,
might be
injuring,
one. Yeah.
You know, we can think of the charges.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're waiting for the blood work to come back on the person arrested. Maybe waiting for them to sober up.
What do you think? What do you think the BAC was?
I know.
4.1.
But we hope that our officer and the latest officer, we just talked last week, how many officers were injured in different stops where so they're evading somebody. There were two Philadelphia police officers injured just last week. So this whole pattern has to stop. OK, the big good news today is that President-elect Donald J. Trump will be sworn in today, and it's hours away. Woo! We're here live at the Newtown Athletic Center. Yes. And we are here to celebrate. Breakfast is being served. The coffee is hot. The crowd is warming things up. So we hope you come on down. We'll be here all day until 3 o'clock and really witness together this historic day in our nation as President-elect Donald J. Trump takes the oath of office and formally kicks off his second term of, his second term in the White House. So the inauguration marking the official transfer of presidential power with the executive branch changing hands from the Biden administration to the Trump administration. The 20th Amendment states that a president's four-year term ends at noon today, January 20th, and incoming President-elect Trump will be sworn in. We've talked a lot this morning about the fact that we have these frigid temperatures here, the Arctic blast hitting much of the East Coast, obviously, because of the dangerous cold. That's why they've been really scrambling, all the crews. They made the decision to move the swearing-in ceremony inside. A lot of questions, and that's what Nick Kale was talking about in his big take. If you missed it, 6 o'clock this morning. We started at 6 a.m. Where were you?
Yeah.
But Nick talking a lot this morning about the fact that there are many, including Glenn Beck, many others who say, well, where was the danger? Is the danger in the dangerous cold? We know the wind chills are around zero in D.C. Or is there something else? We know that the danger threat, assassination attempts, etc., have been high. And so amid the tough security situations as well as the tough cold, they've decided to move this thing inside. So ceremonies with the president-elect, the vice president-elect, they're planned by the Joint Congressional Committee on inaugural ceremonies. And so we will see the procession to the Capitol this morning. The vice president's swearing-in ceremony goes first, then the president's swearing-in ceremony, and then the inaugural address, the honorary departure of the outgoing president and vice president, and then the signing ceremony to which the new president has to sign the nominations, the memos, the proclamations, the executive orders. Trump had said yesterday he had talked about close to 100 of those executive orders, although the media is reporting 200. So what does that look like? I suspect that maybe the media is including everything he has to sign. You know what I mean? That's what makes sense to me. All the memos, the proclamations, and then one about 100 executive orders.
I hope he went to Staples and bought some pens. He's got a lot of things to sign.
And then the inaugural luncheon, and then the president and vice president review the military troops, and then the presidential parade will take place at the Capitol One Arena in downtown Washington due to the cold. So it'll be indoors. And that we saw the huge Trump rally that was yesterday. So this will be the same venue again where I was ticketed to go today.
Were you really?
I was.
Okay.
But
you decided to come into your job.
I decided to come and do my job because my boss, Greg Stocker, said,
"That's right.
We start at 6 a.m.
That's right.
Yeah. In Bucks County.
You know, let's give her credit. In a day and age where everybody wants to work from home at their table and do virtual, Dawn's out here schlepping with us.
Right.
Good work out of you."
So officially, the inauguration ceremony begins about 11:30 a.m., and that'll tee up then President Trump swearing in about noontime when he officially, legally becomes president of the United States of America. And that's really why we're here, as we think about all of you, especially in Bucks County, a pivotal place. And we have some special guests upcoming. We'll be announcing who also, I mean, could have been there right on the dais, quite frankly. Really important jobs within Trump Force 47 this election who are choosing to be here with us today, with you, and a special message. So we have a friend to Kale and Company, to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, who in a snowstorm came back, was in D.C. all weekend at all the rallies, everything, and is going to be delivering today an important message from President Donald J. Trump. And so that's something we're really looking forward to. And that's why it's important. It was important to for all of us to be here in Bucks, a pivotal county in the presidential election, as well as Pennsylvania, of course.
It's really amazing. I mean, this county and the other counties, you know, Delco, Chester, you go up to Northampton County.
Yep.
So many pivotal counties in the most important swing states. So when we sit here and say, you know, Trump's president, again, in part because of you in this audience, it's not lip service. It's fact.
Amen. So according to the Trump Vance Inaugural Committee, the inaugural ceremonies will begin with a musical prelude performed by the University of Nebraska Lincoln Combined Choirs. And as well, we've got the president's own U.S. Marine Band. And so it's going to be exciting. And obviously, we're going to have the Reverend Franklin Graham. He'll deliver the invocation. Christopher Macchio, who we've heard at many of the Trump rallies, the opera singer dubbed America's Tenor, singing "Oh America." Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, by the way, he'll be the Supreme Court Justice administering the vice presidential oath to J.D. Vance. And then we'll also have the Chief Justice. He will be delivering the oath for Trump. Country singer Carrie Underwood, joined by the Armed Forces Chorus and the U.S. Naval Academy Glee Club. She will perform America the Beautiful.
Yes, Carrie Underwood. Taking a lot of flack on those social media streets.
Who cares, right?
How dare you show up at this inauguration?
It's a sin.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her. I believe Melania, our incoming first lady, was on with Fox and Friends at 6 o'clock this morning. So I believe it was live, too. I believe it was a live interview. So they're pumped.
She's been on that show a lot.
She has.
I think I know what's going on.
What?
Her and Trump, and who's the female on the show?
Ainsley.
Yeah, and she's now married to...
she's engaged.
What's his nuts? What's the guy? The guy that
sounds like your husband who's asking for all the inside.
He's like, Hannity's out. He's the only
Ainsley is Hannity's.
Yeah. What is this, like a little like double date night type stuff?
My theory on the engagement, because they just announced their engagement. My little theory is that Trump was like, when are you going to, you know, make this honorable? Why don't you put a ring on, you know, put a ring on her finger? You can have the wedding at Mar-a-Lago.
Maybe
Ainsley will be the maid of honor.
Let me ask you this. You're the female of the show. I try to stay in my lane.
Excuse me.
How does Sean Hannity pull that off?
I know.
Cheers.
Right?
Right?
The $25 million a year contract.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I think Ainsley probably, you know, she's got some good points.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. She seems a little out of his league. Just an observation from a guy on the outside. Yeah.
Like, well, he knows martial arts, so there's that.
Oh, he does? Well, so does Zuckerberg, apparently.
Yeah, he talks about it all the time.
Yeah, maybe we ought to promote a fight. MMA. Hannity against Zuckerberg in the cage.
Yeah.
Who you got? What's FanDuel have for the odds?
Yeah, that's Sean Hannity. He's got some big commentaries that he gives. Big hands. I don't know.
I sleep when he talks.
Stop. But it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Hey, we have so much news to bring you today. We want to talk about thanking our sponsor, Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a little squeal or maybe a grinding noise? Don't wait. You want to take care of that. So take your vehicle to your locally owned and operated Meineke and their expert technicians. They're going to diagnose the problem. Find a location nearest you. Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Meineke, thank you for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live. We've been talking about the Eagles victory, and we face the Commanders. It'll be, is it a 3 p.m. game?
3 p.m.
By the way?
Yeah.
3 p.m.
Round three, by the way. Third time they'll play in 3 months.
Woohoo! For the NFC East Championship game. And then we have to talk about the forecast. So it feels, I guess here, it feels like it's 7.
Yeah.
So we got that going for us.
Which 7,
is
nice. Huh?
Not nice.
7.
7.
Great.
But our road report from the crowd here is that the roads,
they're fine.
The roads are absolutely fine. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I actually live in Philadelphia, so I always say as soon as you get to Montgomery County, it's like clear sailing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the side roads in Philadelphia, not quite.
I mean, I left my house at 4:25. I did the speed limit the whole way.
You were fine.
Yeah.
So
and as we all know, I have a huge truck. So. That six-cylinder beast was moving.
Yeah, it took me 50 minutes. But again, I live in the city, so I had to just get out, you know, maneuver through.
Yeah.
Then once I got on the turnpike, it's smooth sailing to here.
Sure is.
So come on down to the Newtown Athletic Club Live, Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. We are just 20 minutes out from a Monday edition, Inauguration Day edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. But before we get there, one last story to hit on, and I do want to throw up at least the video, if we could, when we come back, Phil, because yesterday, hostages released, and I think we need to have a conversation on what transpired these last 16 months, and also the visual of this, a stark reminder to all of those Gen Z Ivy League dopes that were chanting from the river to the sea. How you can chant that after watching that video, maybe you might realize that you were on the wrong side all along. It's Kale & Company. We are live this morning from the Knack in Bucks County.
Woo!
We are back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The last story to hit on before we get to the cut sheet, which is coming up shortly. Another big day yesterday, obviously. We talked about the restoration of TikTok, but on a more serious front, the first Israeli hostages released under the Gaza ceasefire as three women were turned over to Israel. And in exchange, around 90 Palestinian prisoners, doesn't seem like an even trade, 3 for 90, but, you know, great to have it nonetheless, where these prisoners were freed by Israel in the first round of exchanges. And if you recall, when Numbnuts was on his way out, Joe Biden, it's going to be in three phases, and I can't really tell you about phase two or phase three, and I don't know much about phase one, but my handlers have told me, here's what's going to go on in phase one. This is the beginning of phase one. And I want to play you this clip on YouTube here. Phil, this was one of the hostages in sort of the prisoner swap release, and I believe this occurred in the evening hours. If you want to roll this, go right ahead. Now, you have all of these terrorists with black masks on. They've got green headbands on. They almost look like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with AK-47s. It's just outrageous when you watch this. And I'm legitimately watching the clip of this a day or two ago on social media, and I'm seeing just people on top of SUVs jumping and hooting and hollering. I'm not sure if there was any cursing or anything like that, so we don't have audio with it. And I'm thinking, man, you're getting released, and this is available for public consumption. You know, the media or, you know, firsthand accounts with smartphones are covering all of this. And if you think that is a rowdy setting, can you imagine what it was like for 15 and a half months being one of these hostages, American, Israeli, male, female, young, old, down below in these tunnels where it is completely dark? You are in isolation. They gave you barely enough, you know, necessities to survive. I saw the one lady. She had her hand bandaged. It looked like she might have lost a digit or two with these savage barbarians. And you have all of these people for 15 months that, you know, wanted to interrupt our lives, you know, with the protests on bridges and public streets and marching for the Palestinian cause and, you know, the Gaza way of life. And I'm thinking, some of these people, first of all, they don't even know what they're protesting. And secondly, we talked about it many times. So many people in different communities that if you tried to relocate and live over there, they would adamantly reject your way of life. They might stone you. They might behead you. They will kill you. And yet we have the young generation that was so enamored with standing up for the wrong cause. I would like for those people to watch all of these hostage release videos and realize what these individuals had to deal with. I'll just tell you, Dawn, you're tougher than I'll ever be. and Greg as well. I would not have lasted 15 months in a tunnel underground. I have no idea how these people survived. I don't know if it was their faith, whatever it was that kept them going. But I'm just so ecstatic that these people get to go home. Yeah. And I hope that this, and I don't think this will happen. With Trump back in office, guys like Pete Hegseth, assuming he's confirmed, the days of this happening, I think, are over. Because Trump has said, if you F around, we will destroy you.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, today we're expecting that Marco Rubio gets confirmed as Secretary of State.
Yeah.
He's among those. So that looks like it'll happen today. But yeah, I mean, what bothers me is that in most of the coverage this morning, I'll say the vast majority, and if you saw even the news yesterday, that the media focuses on Gaza. To me, the headline story, just as a longtime news person, isn't the story that these three women, their families weren't even sure if they were alive after 471 days somewhere in a cave, that they hugged their families for the first time. You know what I mean? In nearly a year and a half. It blows my mind. Their 24-year-old Romy Gonin, Doron Steinbrecher, who's 31, and Emily Damari, who's 28.
Phil, can you roll cut 24? This is the moment these three hostages were transferred to Israel after spending 15 months in Hamas captivity. If you want to roll cut for 24, Phil. Again, I'm not sure if there's audio of it. I don't think there is, but there's we have the video up there. Yeah. So.
Let's see here. Should be catching up in real time. There you go. Yeah, it looks like a white SUV. And, yeah, you got the hostages, I think, coming out of the back seat here. There's one individual. I believe you will see. I think this might be the clip I saw with her hand all bandaged and wrapped up. It's just, it's unbelievable. And you're right, Dawn. You talk about the coverage. I've got MSNBC.com up right now. I'm looking through the main page and scrolling down. Everything, not to say that they shouldn't be covering Trump. They are, and they should be, but you see nothing. Okay, here you go. You have to get about halfway down the page, and the headline is, three Israeli hostages, 90 Palestinian prisoners released on first day of Gaza ceasefire. I mean, you would think that this would be a little bit higher up, but it's not.
We also have, this is cut 2020. This is Emily Damari's mother, who thanked Trump for getting the Israel-Hamas ceasefire deal done. Roll it.
President-elect Donald Trump, you have really made my dream come true, but it's not over. My dream is still going on until I see Emily and all of the other 98 hostages back in Israel with their families. I just want to say thank you so much for getting and pushing that deal to be signed. I want to thank all the mediators and negotiators and anyone else who's been connected to thank you from the bottom of my heart. But it's not over yet. Emily and the other 98 hostages are still not here. And we need to get them home as soon as possible and keep them alive until they are here.
There you go.
About a third of the way down on CNN.com, as first Israeli hostages are released, Hamas sends a message. It is far from being destroyed. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you heard Hegseth in those Senate confirmation hearings. I think he said verbatim, I want to kill every single Hamas terrorist. And that is a guy who, you know, and we know Trump doesn't want to start wars. He wants to end wars. He doesn't want to fund the military-industrial complex. He doesn't want to be at conflict. I mean, he said if they are not released on day one or when I take over, there will be hell to pay. But this is obviously something, and I think it was Biden that said this last week in the three phases, that it'll probably take roughly 6 weeks, if I recall correctly.
By the way, breaking news here. Joe Biden has pardoned Anthony Fauci, General Milley, Cheney, and the January 6th lawmakers. So there you go. In the last hour, in the last couple of hours of his presidency, he pardoned Anthony Fauci and General Milley, Liz Cheney, and the January 6th committee.
You know, and I would argue completely unnecessary, because I don't think Trump is going to waste his time going after individuals when he has such a small window of time to get things rolling. When you talk about getting 11 things done on day one, you're talking anywhere 1 to 200 executive actions. Do you think he really cares? Do you honestly think about, forget what he says. Again, it's not about what Trump says. It's about what he does or he does not do. Do we really think he was ever going to go after and try to have political prosecution and weaponization of government against guys like Fauci? It's not going to go anywhere. It was never going to go anywhere. All those congressional hearings on Capitol Hill, we got all these aha gotcha moments. Nothing was ever going to materialize. It was a dog and pony show. We talked about that for 2 years on this show. So
I think it shows that I think in a way it's a good thing, because the fact that he pardoned them tells me that he thinks they're guilty.
Oh, for sure.
Well,
you know what I mean?
He said in a statement, the issuance of these pardons should not be mistaken as an acknowledgement that any individual engaged in any wrongdoing,
right,
nor should acceptance be misconstrued as an admission of guilt for any offense, Biden said in the statement. Our nation owes these public servants a debt of gratitude for their tireless commitment to our country.
We owe Fauci absolutely zero. That guy perjured himself 5 or 6 times, in my opinion, on those witness stands. And this was a guy who tried to tell everybody, oh, it's 100% safe and secure. The virus, you get vaccinated, it's dead on arrival with you. You can't. Everything that they said when it pertained to COVID was wrong.
In the AP article, it says here, because that's what I'm reading from, it's customary for a president to grant clemency at the end of his term, but those acts of mercy are usually offered to everyday Americans who have been convicted of crimes. But Biden has used the power in the broadest and most untested way possible to pardon those who have not even been investigated yet, and with the acceptance comes a tacit admission of guilt or wrongdoing, even though those who have been pardoned have not been formally accused of any crime. That's according to the AP.
There you go. All right, 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we will come back and get to the Cut Sheet on a Monday. Inauguration Day, Sean Farish at 8:30 and Esty coming up at 9:30. Cut Sheet is next here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, how much I think of the Chapman family team. Just great people. Love the work they've done in my home to make my home more beautiful. You know by now, if I needed new windows, doors, siding, stucco remediation, I would only trust the Chapman family team. So here's the thing. Until the end of this month, until the end of January, you receive 50% off any standard door installation when you purchase a new door. Think about a new front entry door. It's like a makeover for your home. Just gives it a whole new look and really change the look of your house. And maybe you have something upcoming. Maybe a graduation upcoming, a big family party. So make sure you take advantage of this fantastic promo before it's too late. Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. They carry a range, as you can imagine, of top brands to choose from, including Provia. That's what I have. And they're going to work with you to pick the perfect door for you. You can visit their showroom. It's in Westchester. Or they can come to your home. You can take a virtual tour at ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Check out all of the products they have. I love the before and afters. All those photos, that's what I would say focus on first. But whether you or somebody you know, you're looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, all the hardware choices, just give them a call. You can text them. They're local. They're like-minded. They're listening right now. A real person is going to respond to you, whether you text, whether you call 610-431-8898. You can check them out online, like I say, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
3, 2, 1. What's on the cut sheet on this Monday? Yeah, thank you. No sponsor today, so that was kind of anticlimactic. But thank you for that, everybody. Let's start here with cut one. This is outgoing DHS Secretary Mayorkas.
Oh, my boy.
He claims that Biden, this is our last day to play these guys, right? So we have
That's
to.
Right. I never want to see or hear this schmuck ever again after today.
He claims that Biden and Harris wouldn't let him secure the border.
Oh, so we have throwing under the bus?
It was their fault. Oh, my God. It was their fault. Roll cut one.
Mr. Secretary, do you not, put the politics of the election aside if you want. Do you not look at the immigration issue in this country and what has transpired over the last 4 years, given the number of people coming into this country illegally, given the firestorm that this has created, the national dialogue about it, given some of the efforts, frankly, by the administration, especially early on, to be more lenient than they have been? Do you think none of those things, if you could go back, you would do differently?
Look, Andrew, yes. And you have to understand something. And this is not specific to government, but to any large organization, including a government administration. People have different views on what the correct policies should be, what the correct operational measures should be. Those disagreements, those different views are voiced, decisions are made, and then everyone marches in unity together. That is the nature of a large organization, and the government is no different.
But just so I'm clear, that are you suggesting your own personal views about how to operate this were at odds, or there was a distinction between your personal approach and how you would have wanted to do it and how maybe your bosses wanted to do it?
I don't want to get into the deliberative process. We're one team and it's one effort. But this is not a revolutionary concept, that there are disparate views when one has many people involved in the decision-making process.
So, translation, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer told Joe Biden, and then Joe Biden told Kamala Harris, the borders are, and then the borders are told the guy at DHS, Baldy Alejandro Mayorkas, you will let them in to the tune of 10, 12, 15, perhaps even 20 million people, because it's all about repopulating districts and winning swing states and getting more Democrat voters. So basically, he just backed the electric school bus over the entire administration, and even those technically not in the administration.
Well, Road Warrior brings up a good point. He says, I guess he didn't get a pardon. No, I guess he didn't.
And he won't be getting one after that comment.
That's true. Absolutely. So apparently mass self-deportations are already in progress.
Yeah.
So people are already like, yeah, we're getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, fling yourself out.
This video courtesy of News Nation. This is Cut 3, Philip. Go.
Trump has promised to carry out the largest deportation operation in U.S. history. And before those operations begin, some migrants are already choosing to leave the country voluntarily. News Nation's Jorge Ventura joins us live from San Antonio, Texas this morning with more on this story. Jorge, how many migrants are we actually seeing doing this, leaving voluntarily?
Right now, Mark, it's unclear, but we are starting to see a trend, and this comes as cities across the U.S. and Mexico are now bracing for President-elect's deportation operation. But his hardline messaging on those deportation efforts have some migrants panicking and some even choosing now to self-deport back to their home countries. I spoke with immigration attorney Rolando Vasquez, who tells me that some of the immigrants that he represents that entered under the Biden administration are now choosing to return home, fearing deportation under the incoming administration.
Just as recent as yesterday, they notified me that they're going to depart the country voluntarily. And understanding that, you know, the Trump administration is going to carry through on their promises.
And it's not just Trump's deportation plans that are influenced these decisions. Vasquez says it's also that Mexico is now open to accepting non-Mexican deportees. Mexico's move would impact Cuban and Venezuelan migrants the most, since those countries typically do not accept deportation flights from the U.S., but may from Mexico.
Wow, there you go. All right, you can stop it there.
You know, fear is a powerful tool. And, you know, when Trump says something, you have a lot of these individuals that are not stupid. We talked about this countless times over the last 2.5 years, that whether it was South American nations, whether it was Asia, whether it was Europe, the whole planet knew that we had an open border, southern border specifically, but certainly some stuff at the northern border as well. And they know. They've seen it. They have their social media. You know, they might see it on the news, whether it's a Trump threat, whether it's a Tom Homan clip. You know, these people are paying attention, and they knew that they had an opportunity to get in. And now that the fear is, you know, kind of kicked back in,
yeah,
a lot of them saying, you know what, I'm going to mitigate my damages and I'm getting out. And that's kind of what happens when, you know, Trump carries that big deportation stick. Because I don't think that they want to be dealing with the workplace deportations. Can you imagine how embarrassing that would be? You're sitting there at work and here comes ICE. Here comes Tom Homan.
So what's the word, Tuesday, tomorrow?
It'd be tonight.
Tonight. Wow.
Yeah, the word is tonight. But the thing about it is, if you know, the Philadelphia Inquirer, local media, national media focusing on, oh, they're going to raid places like churches,
yeah,
and corral and jail. Immigrant families. I don't see that happening. That's not what we're talking about. What I believe is, and everybody I talk to says, and Trump has said on the campaign trail for how long, right?
Yeah.
That they're focusing on the criminals, not just nonviolent criminals, but in particular, violent criminals.
Yeah, you start with the worst and work your way down. Yeah.
And so at that point, I think that the focus here, you think of Lake and Riley and all the people that we don't know their names. That because, think about it, even in our area, you know, look at your local crime blotter, whether it's here, but especially Chester County.
Yeah.
Look at the Chester County. If you ever do this, I do it every day because I have tons of family in Chester County. Look at their crime blotter and just tell me, are these individuals being arrested on a daily basis? All American citizens? I think not. And some of these are, a lot of them are knife. It's a knife. And a lot of them are domestic, but a lot of them are not. And a lot of them are burglaries. So that's who they're talking about. But I think the big one will be when they reportedly, when they declare that the cartels, they list them as a terrorist organization, and that frees up all these federal agencies, these SWAT teams. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They're going to come in and all dressed in their tack. Right. I see you applauding. Yeah, because this is about the cartels. Mm-hmm. That's who's raining hell. You listen to Tom Homan, for example, and you know, this is where I go with the pedophiles, right? Hello. Did you guys see that the huge, it was a BLM, Trump-hating Pulitzer Prize winning cartoonist. And over the weekend, the story broke.
Oh, the WAPO guy?
That this guy, well, not just WAPO. It's all, I mean, he does major publications, Nick.
Yeah, he had, and, what, child?
Accused of mm-hmm. having child pedophile type sicko images. 600 images on his home computer over the weekend.
And he was the individual Ew. That tried to claim years ago that Republicans were groomers.
Yeah.
And what does he end up having on his device, allegedly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Child pornography.
So I just think that as far as this human trafficking issue.
Yeah.
The sick part of it is we're going to learn all this because they're going to make it transparent. But these human traffickers, the human sex traffickers, the pedophile trafficker, like all this kind of stuff is going to come to light. But the fact that we have anywhere from 300,000 to 500,000 children and teens who have been smuggled into this country illegally and they're being trafficked makes me nauseous.
And you haven't even touched on the fentanyl crisis.
Exactly.
Which you talk about, you know, bias by omission in the media. How about a blackout in the media? When's the last time the national media did a story on cartels and drug dealers and fentanyl coming across the border and killing countless thousands, presumably children and teens, that think they're doing one drug and end up taking that and dying?
And what's significant, too, to your point, is that Trump had tweeted out, was that Friday, and he put out on social media, he put it on social media, talking about the fact that he had already reached out to China's President Xi. Remember that China was miffed because of the policies that went into effect regarding, I don't know, all the ingredients of drugs. The Biden administration had blamed China. So it would appear to me that basically by Trump cracking down on the cartels, the one they're not mentioning is any involvement from China. They're putting this purely on China, or excuse me, on Mexico and on the cartels. So when that happens, and if they start using drones to, I don't know, blow up factories overnight or whatever, then the total war on drugs, fentanyl, all of that is put on Mexico, but it's not put on China.
The new incoming national security advisor, excuse me, Mike Walls was on State of the Union and talked about the actions that will be taken from the Trump administration when it comes to immigration. Let's start here with cut 13, Phil. Go.
Immigration. The president will tomorrow apparently issue a whole bunch of executive orders specifically on immigration. Can you explain what that is going to look like? Will there be raids right away? Tell us how that's going to look and who is going to be affected.
Well, you are certainly going to see a much more aggressive action from Border Patrol to lock down our border, number one. Number two, we are working rapidly back towards a Remain in Mexico policy. Number three, you're going to see some of our key partners step up in terms of deportation and taking some of these people back. I don't want to get too far ahead of who they are or how that's going to occur. And then number four, Tom Holman actually absolutely is going to take much more aggressive ICE action. Our inner city mayors are begging for it. The president campaigned on it. We are going to start with the worst of the worst of the criminals to get them out of our cities and out of our
communities. Is this large-scale raids we're talking about?
Well, I don't know, you know, how you would define large scale, but when we have criminals raping, assaulting, and conducting the mayhem that they are, you know, one of the things you're absolutely going to see is this aggressive action to get them out of our communities.
This coming week, it will start.
The president's ready to go minute one. On getting these people out of the United States.
Okay.
They cannot be aggressive enough, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And you know what's going to happen, because the Democrats and the media always in lockstep with the narrative, with the message. You talked about the deportation possibly at a church. Probably won't happen. But in the event, whether it's ICE or any other agency or any state or local office actually working along with the Trump administration, there's going to be a viral moment. There's going to be a clip where somebody is removed forcibly that's resisting, or a grandmother will start crying, or there'll be a kid with a runny nose. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to have AOC rushing to TikTok and Snapchat, and then that'll be played on MSNBC. That'll be Maddow's show. That'll be Joy Reid's show. And they won't worry about those that were killed, that were raped, the Lake and Rileys of the world. They will play, they'll look for that one moment to say, look how inhumane this is. You know that's going to happen.
Yeah, I, you know, I look at Dana and she has that pouty face. She's just,
you think she was like that when she got divorced from King?
I don't know. I mean, she's just like,
maybe that's the reason.
Yeah, right? Miss Pouty Face. But you would think, as even if you are a non-biased, you know, news anchor and reporter, you know, like she is, that you would take joy in hearing that there's going to be a major crackdown in crime, that they're going to crack down on the very individuals who have caused tragedy in our nation and wreaked upon us a death and mayhem with the fentanyl crisis, with the human trafficking, all of that. And why don't you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that not happening? Isn't this a good thing?
They show more, and they, as in network news, they show more sympathy for the feelings of somebody who broke the law, quote, seeking a better life, than those who are already legal tax-paying citizens that end up being either killed, raped, assaulted, drugged, shipped around. Like, it's staggering to me that you talk about feelings, that you put the feelings of illegal immigrants above our own citizens. It's upside down world.
Now, here's the controversial thing I'll say to your point, Nikhail, is that, yes, for a year or two, we're going to see this, these raids, crackdowns on cartels. We're going to see the transparency because, like, for our area, many of the counties, not just Philadelphia County, we're all sanctuary cities, sanctuary municipalities, sanctuary counties. When they start revealing how many criminals who've been wreaking havoc on us are actually not here legally, and that, in fact, they're wanted in their home countries, that will be a game changer. But once we get through those phases, I think something will happen that has needed to happen for many decades in this country. And I think that is going to be Donald J. Trump and his administration are going to say, America, we've never gotten this together. This has been a political football back and forth. And we have failed as a nation in Congress to have high quality laws that, yes, bring in the best people who are good people, as we're a nation of immigrants. So then I think, and Trump has already alluded to this with the DACA kids, for example, and Jesus is here, we've talked about that before, but I think Trump is going to have a plan where he says, hey, at some point, the cost relationship between actually going through and deporting people who are working at companies right now, who are hardworking people, they did not come here to go on quote-unquote welfare. They came here for a better opportunity. Guess what? They've been here for years, and they've got a company that vouches for them. They've got a family here. The kids are in school. Everybody's doing great. In the past, when other presidents in the past tried to say those words, the answer from the vast majority of Americans is no, 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 you're not allowed to do that. I think it'll be different this time around. Mm-hmm. I think he's the guy who can get the deal done to say, look, we eradicated the country of the terrorists, the violent criminals, the convicted criminals, the threats, etc., and we put them back to their home countries or whatever. But I think he's the one who can finally bring forth the reform in immigration law that we have lacked for many, many decades. And that stops both political parties from playing all of us and all of our emotions and doing the thing we talk about, the money laundering operation. Mm-hmm. Because there are issues like abortion, like immigration reform, that they just go to your point, they go to our emotion, right? And then people on both sides will say, oh, I'm going to donate to that R or D because I'm emotional about this issue. And it became this big money laundering operation to fund their career politician job.
Mm-hmm.
Trump last night held a victory rally at, where was this, in D.C. somewhere?
Yeah, D.C.
Yeah, I think it was the arena where the hockey and basketball teams play.
Gotcha.
And that's where today's rally.
What was it called?
Capital One.
Oh, arena. Thank you. Thank you. The Capital One arena.
I did say it in
yeah.
earlier.
There you go. So a couple of clips from that. Let's start here with Cut 27. He talked about the Middle East ceasefire. Roll Trump.
Perhaps most beautiful of all, this week we achieved an epic ceasefire agreement as a first step toward lasting peace in the Middle East. And this agreement could only have happened as a result of our historic victory in November. That was some victory. Was that the greatest? I don't even know which was greater, 2016 or this one. I think this one. Look, Honest Abe Lincoln. We have Honest Abe. We have Uncle Sam. You know, Uncle Sam shook my hand about 2 months ago. He's got the strongest grip I've ever. You are a strong man. I said, what the hell was that? But I'm glad to report that the first hostages have just been released. And who knows what's going to happen. I know that Biden is saying that they made the deal. Well, you know. I mean, that deal should have been, first of all, it would have never happened if I were president. Would have never happened. There was not even a thought of it. Iran was broke. They had no money for Hezbollah. They had no money for Hamas. They had no money. They were broke, totally broke, and they would have never done anything. But they did it, you know. I like to think back to the past. I said, if only the election weren't rigged, all the things that would have happened that would have been so good. But it was. We're not going to let that happen again. I want to thank my friend Steve Witkoff, who I think is here.
You can stop it there.
All right, so there you go. You know, when you think about this, had Kamala Harris have won the election, does anybody believe that this ceasefire and these hostages would be released? I say absolutely not. If Joe Biden was the candidate and didn't get, we didn't have a subversion of democracy after the June 27th debate, does Joe get this accomplished? Probably not. And Joe said last week, it's the same exact deal that I proposed in May of 2024. Well, then if it's the same exact deal, what changed? I don't know what changed other than the fact that Trump won and said there will be hell to pay. And here, of course, you have that release. So I'm just glad, you know, you can split the credit any which way you want. But for those people, I don't know that they necessarily care. They're probably just glad to be out of that cave.
TikTok over the weekend, it was ruled over the weekend that it would the Supreme Court would uphold the ban. The ban went into effect Sunday morning, and then it was back 90 minutes later. Trump talked about the TikTok ban. Let's do this cut. What is this? Cut 26 there? Go.
And as of today, TikTok is back. So, you know, I did a little TikTok thing. We have a guy, TikTok Jack. He's a young kid, like 21 years old. And we hired this guy, and I went on TikTok. Can you believe what I'll do to win an election? And we went on TikTok, and Republicans have never won the young vote, the youth vote. They win a lot of votes, but they never won the youth vote. We won the youth vote by 36 points. So I like TikTok. I like it. I like it. I had a slightly good experience, wouldn't you say? Romney lost it by 40 points. Not so long ago, we won it by 36 points. That's a very big spread. But I said, we need to save TikTok because we're talking about a tremendous... Who in this audience goes with TikTok? Many? Yeah, very popular. And frankly, we have no choice. We have to save it. A lot of jobs. We don't want to give our business to China. We don't want to give our business to other people. And I said, you know, TikTok without my approval, meaning the president's approval, because Congress gave the president the right to make a deal, do whatever he wants. And they did that a long time ago when they had a different president. They didn't know that I was going to be the president, I guess.
So I said very simply, a joint venture. So if TikTok is worth nothing, zero, without an approval, you know, if you don't approve, they're out of business, they're worth nothing. If you do approve, they're worth like $1 trillion. They're worth some crazy number. So I said, I'll approve, but let the United States of America own 50% of TikTok. I'm approving on behalf of the United States.
You know what's amazing is 170 million Americans use TikTok. That is, what, roughly half of the United States population. I didn't realize that it was that powerful. I mean, I knew a lot of people were using it. I didn't know it was 170 million. And then you look at his success that he had using it. And if you go back to Vivek in 2023, I think we played the clip on Friday where he was blasting Nikki Haley's daughter for using TikTok. And she was like, oh, keep my daughter's name out of your mouth. You're scum, the whole bit. He was telling Republicans, we have to embrace this technology. This is where the Utes go. This is how we're going to win the Gen Z vote. And then Trump's rolling out garbage truck skits. Right here in Bucks County, McDonald's French fry skits. And where are those skits ending up? On TikTok. Mm-hmm. Who sees that? I gave you the stats last Friday. It's about 14 million impressions that he had on both of those. So,
by the way,
it's invaluable.
The McDonald's thing that happened here in Bucks County was set up and implemented by the people right here at the Newtown Athletic.
I was just going, how close are we to that McDonald's right now? Do you know? Does anybody know that you, are we within like 3 or 5 miles?
No, it's like 25 minutes.
25 minutes?
Yeah.
Has anybody gone to that location since Trump did the French fry bit?
Since you have. So
how were the fries? Extra salty? I love salt. I'm just like Trump. I love salt.
So in the 15 minutes or 90 minutes, whatever it was, that TikTok was down, people lost their minds. Let's do cut seven here. This said that it's a crime what happened, that TikTok was down for 90 minutes. Cut seven. Phil, roll it.
We want to talk about criminal behavior. This right here. This is a crime. This is a crime against humanity.
It's a crime against humanity.
Oh, she's probably more offended and hot and bothered over losing TikTok and will classify it as a crime against humanity, but probably was totally mum on things like Lake and Riley and the immigration violations committed in this country against innocent American citizens. I have no idea what her political alliance is, but if she is anti-Trump, she might want to thank Trump for helping get that restored in, I don't know, what, seven, would you say 75 minutes?
90 minutes? Something like that.
Yeah, life will go on.
So on the other hand, this 102-year-old World War II vet begs either president to save TikTok because it allows him to talk to younger people about his service and history.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's using it for a really good cause.
Yeah, this is cut six. Phil, go.
Oh, TikTok. I'm going to miss you. It's hard for me to think that I'll be coming here expecting to talk to you and can't talk to you. I'm not sure if the president, either one of them will listen to me, but I'm going to put in my 2 cents. President Biden, President Trump, if there's anything you can do to save TikTok, do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's keep TikTok rolling for everyone. It has given me popularity. It's opened the door.
This guy is amazing.
I've got a whole bunch of children that listen to my TikTok. It's good that these children remember the servicemen, what they did. I've told all these stories on TikTok, so they will remember them. They gave their life. They gave their lives so we had a better world. Now they want to take part of that world away from us. I'm a proud old man. How many people can say these things? Not only am I proud, I'm the luckiest man in the world.
Wow.
I got you guys for listeners. Thank you all.
All right, you can stop it. Thank you.
So his name is Jake Larson, according to his shirt, U.S. Army World War II. We need to get him on for our veteran spotlight.
Agreed. Agreed.
Presented by Window Nation. You know, I would love to chat with Jake.
It's funny. We always talk about, you know, we see these mindless dopes on TikTok.
Yes, with purple hair, nose ring, and pronouns.
But you forget about something like this, somebody like this who's, you know, doing good things by teaching kids about World War II and how we can't fall back into that.
And also lost in all of this, the content creators that use TikTok as a revenue stream.
Agreed.
I was texting with Sean Farish yesterday, who will be coming up in about 10 minutes. And, you know, he gets money from Twitter and TikTok for the, you know, the imitations and the impersonations that he puts out. So for all the content creators that were crying about TikTok banned, were you crying when Twitter was banned? Because 3 or 4 years ago, when people were removed and deplatformed, by the way, they were making money as, quote, content creators.
Let's go back to the incoming National Security Advisor, Mike Walls, who also talked about TikTok. He says that he wants to save TikTok, but he also wants to protect Americans from Chinese influence. Cut 12, Phil, go.
Okay, TikTok.
Yeah.
As of this morning, TikTok is dark in the United States. President-elect Trump said, save TikTok, in just a two-word social media post. I think it's pretty clear what he wants to do. The law, of course, says that he does have the ability to put a pause on the ban for 90 days, but only if there's significant progress toward a deal to sell it. Is there a viable deal on the table?
Yeah, so, you know, what's interesting here is this is about bridging from Sunday to Monday. This is about giving the tech companies, the app stores, the providers, the cloud storage, and others, the confidence that we are going to work towards some type of deal and to not make this go dark. And I think that's what you're going to see in the upcoming 24 hours. The president needs optionality, and he wants it to evaluate deals that are in accordance with the law, but also protect our national security.
So he's going to bring it back on. Will he bring it back on?
Well, we're working literally real time, working with the various tech companies, get it back online and buy him some time to, one, save it, but protect Americans' data and protect Americans from any type of foreign interference.
So,
I mean, that's the best of both worlds. You get to keep TikTok alive. You get to have free speech, First Amendment, be able to utilize it, be a content creator, whatever you want to do, and also ensure that Americans' data and their privacy and their, you know, personal information is protected. That, I mean, that's why we use DuckDuckGo, right? Because we want our personal information protected. So this, but here's what I'm blown away by. China never putting up resistance to this whole idea. They were totally on board with TikTok going dark. So that tells me that this was absolutely used for spying on American citizens. I've got Yahoo right here. Yahoo Finance says that TikTok, according to analyst Dan Ives, is well north of $100 billion in worth, with the algorithm and potentially up to $200 billion in a best-case scenario. If you own something that is worth $150 billion, would you just let it go away or would you sell it? I would sell it unless you're afraid of letting out the secrets as far as those algorithms and what they were stealing from American citizens.
Yeah, I mean, it was a unanimous Supreme Court decision when they saw.
It's crazy.
That it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's crazy that we have a unanimous decision on anything.
Yeah.
We never.
So it's totally a risk to national security. But what nobody's saying is that what they're really negotiating over is who gets to keep the information that they gather.
Yeah.
Because they gather all of our information with all the other sites, unless you're on DuckDuckGo, they don't store it. But this is the issue. So the negotiation, I think, and this is what they've alluded to, is that they want to keep all of the information that they're still going to gather on us. Mm-hmm. They're just going to keep it in servers here. Yep. So is it in the USA cloud or is it in the China cloud? Yep. I mean, that's basically what the negotiation is,
yep,
which should really open all of our eyes. But unfortunately, nobody's talking about that. And so I think that's the bigger issue to me that people should be wary of and understand. They're collecting data, your facial imagery, everything about you. And they can also look into your texts and emails. They're doing that.
Yep.
And then they're storing the information.
To say
that's kind of creepy.
To say that, like, everything we do is not spying on us is kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I don't use TikTok. I never will. So I don't really care, except when I pull clips for this segment. But, you know, it doesn't bother me. I just think it's rich to say that, well, it's China is, you know, they have our information already. I hate to say it. You know what I mean? They just do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the best and worst thing to ever happen.
Amen. There were protesters yesterday in D.C.
and in Philadelphia.
Some of the women were dressed up as, I'll let Dawn say this, they were dressed up as female members.
Yes.
Vaginas.
As,
pussycats.
Yes. So this video, courtesy of the Daily Wire, this protester complains about the elimination of women at the Women's March. So it's not called the Women's March anymore. It's called the People's March. So we took women out of that, too.
Oh, God.
You have to see the visual of this, by the way, because she's kind of dressed up like a... Yeah.
Like a vagina. YouTube, you can say that.
YouTube.com. It sounds better coming out of your mouth.
Well, do you want to use the keyword that you used months ago?
YouTube.com/@1210 WPHD, where Sean Farish has just joined the...
on deck circle.
The chat there. So he's in there. YouTube.com/@1210 WPHD if you want to see this video. All right. This is cut 14. Phil, go.
What is this outfit you got going on here?
Well, it's pretty self-evident what the outfit is. It's a vagina dress.
Oh my gosh, what
inspired this lovely gown?
What inspired you to wear it?
Seattle, Washington.
Okay. What inspired the dress?
Well, we've got a women's march to attend, and I did it 8 years ago, and I'm back again.
8 years ago. Okay, what's different about the 2017 march and today?
The organization seems way better.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I heard that it's not called the Women's March anymore. It's the People's March.
But, you know, that's sort of the trend lately, has been sort of to eliminate the word woman.
Why is that?
I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah, why do they not want to say woman anymore?
All kinds of reasons that I don't agree with.
Oh, wait, tell us more. I'm so interested in this.
That's okay. Probably
shouldn't.
By the way,
that's supposed to look like a...
I mean, I'm a woman.
That's supposed to look like one? I don't know.
I'm not qualified to talk about it. Can ask my wife. So,
unwaxed.
Women's March. Were they marching for Title IX?
That's an ugly vagina.
That is bad. I'm trying to segue here.
That's a sin.
Save our show here.
Look, she said it.
Like all red. Look at his face.
Yeah, this is like when I walk into Victoria's Secret. I'm so out of place. I have no idea
Beat
what to do.
Beat red. Like,
they weren't. They weren't marching to save women's sports. They weren't marching to keep dudes out of women's locker rooms.
Look, Nick trying to bring it back to a serious
professional
topic.
Broadcaster trained at Temple University.
I appreciate you.
They weren't trying to march for women's locker rooms, but they're marching for that because of what? The guy who won the election that defeated Kamala Harris?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this a continuation of the Roe v. Wade thing? Perhaps. Knock on wood, thank God it didn't ultimately end up being the reason why Republicans lost. But here we are again. And look, knock yourself out. Protest all you want. March. I'm sure. Good with all of that. As long as you don't obstruct people's path from point A to point B, as long as it doesn't turn into violence, I'm good with it. But man, you're right. That was a bizarre looking view.
That was. Right. But I think that they wanted it to be a people's march.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to increase the numbers.
Well, this person,
that's a piece of it.
This is a male at this march who was asked about the Lincoln Riley bill, and he says that it's an immigration or an immigrant bashing bill.
Oh, okay.
Cut 15, Phil. Go.
We're here today with a civil rights and immigrant rights group called BAM.
Okay.
And we're here to defeat Donald
Mask
Trump
on.
And his fascist movement.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you plan to defeat him in the fascist movement?
Yeah. I mean, Donald Trump has stated that, like, on day one, he's going to carry out mass deportation and to pardon January 6th, like, rioters. And especially the Lincoln-Riley bill is an immigrant-bashing bill that has to be defeated now. And I think that we must, like, you know, take mass action to stop, like, these ICE terror in our community, and we want to, like, raise, like, wherever we are in our community, we have to build defense guard against ICE raids and deportations.
Do you know who Lakin Riley is?
When I read it, I kind of retained the information, but I didn't retain.
She was killed by a guy that was an illegal immigrant.
What is so funny?
I think she was killed by a guy that was an illegal immigrant. That's part of the reason this bill is a big deal.
I think that might have been the case. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I mean, are you supportive of measures to, you know, protect the border from criminals and people like that?
I mean, I think that has been like a really right-wing rhetoric. Crimes happen everywhere in the world and in any community. And like to paint a picture that like illegal immigrants are like coming in to be like terrorists and criminals,
like terrorists and like
racist.
Yeah.
And so, like, we are for open
borders. By the way, he's wearing a Palestinian scarf.
Yes. So his mask will not stop or slow the spread of COVID, but Tom Homan will stop and or slow the spread of illegal immigration in this country.
Yep.
That's for sure.
MSNBC covered this People's March, saying, look, you know, a lot of people, but it lacked the star power of the Women's March. No celebrities like Madonna.
Well, yeah.
Cut 18.
They've all fled the country.
Cut 18.
Allegedly.
No, Ellen's back.
Is she back?
Oh, yeah. She was seen in Northern California.
Oh, so. Not Southern California.
No.
She's not giving any money to help out for the wildfires?
Cut 18, bro.
There are tens of thousands of demonstrators here on the mall protesting President-elect Trump ahead of his inauguration. It is a big crowd, but it's a far cry from the hundreds of thousands we saw at the Women's March in 2017. Not just gathering here in D.C., but all across the country, even the globe. Now, a difference here this time around, you notice it's the People's March, not just the Women's March. We started near the White House where different interest groups were gathering, climate, democracy, women's rights issues, and they all made their way to the mall. Now we have speakers at this rally. It lacks the star power of the Women's March. No celebrities like Madonna or even elected leaders. Then Senator Kamala Harris was here last time, so it's a little bit more subdued. And I spoke with some demonstrators on our way over here, including a woman named Zoe from Arkansas, Zoe, who went to one of those satellite protests in 2017. And here was her take on how the mood differs this time around. What do you feel like the mood is this time around compared to 2017's protests?
Less optimistic. maybe just because things have changed, some for the better, some for the worse. But a lot of it is just, I feel people are maybe more determined this time than last time.
All right. You can stop it.
Oh, there's Zoe. You see it, Z-O-E. So you have these individuals out there marching for democracy, climate change, and some of these women's rights issues. By the way, so based on that logic, Dawn, women lose all of their rights today, right? This is what we were told, right? If you're a female, you need to leave the country immediately, because now that Trump's in office, females will lose their rights. You know, I'm looking at that video there. I don't know. That's what, maybe 24, 25 degrees? And that was what America rejected in the 2024 election. So let's go back to the big take for a second. Both senators and people like Don Lemon saying, Trump moved it inside because nobody was going to show up. If they showed up for that, what do you think the attendance would have been today?
Yeah, and
five times that?
Look at the images of people who, in this frigid weather, spent the night outside the rally sites and right there in D.C., spent the night. They're all lined up, just like they are for every Trump rally.
Yeah.
People by the thousands are lined up in this frigid weather to make sure that they get in. And so that it's just it doesn't even ring true. And that's why, by the way, that's why none of the celebrities are going there, because it's for losers. It's like, I'm not going to that loser event.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the celebs are not there.
That's right.
One more, and then we will get to the president-elect, who will give us a preview of what he's going to say today, later on this afternoon. Where's AOC? This is where did AOC go?
She's bartending at a Hooters.
Phil, I'm sorry. I'm scrolling through this here. Do you have the AOC clip? Oh, yeah, it's 23. She talked about that. Last night, we were on the eve of the authoritarian administration. Cut 23, Phil, go.
Well,
we are on the eve of an authoritarian administration. This is what 21st century fascism is starting to look like. Republicans really model themselves after Orban's Hungary. And so you can look to see how Viktor Orban runs Hungary to get a taste of how they will try to govern and control media and companies in the United States. And this is kind of an entree to that. As far as what we do, you know, this is a time of experimentation. A lot of people will still use platforms, can still use platforms. But I also look towards places where you have more ownership as well and develop your audiences there. Like Blue Sky, you own your audiences at Protocol, decentralized Protocol, newsletters, email.
So that's from TikTok, huh? You know what? On second thought, maybe we should ban TikTok. That way we wouldn't have to see her anymore.
I'm not sure if it was TikTok or maybe it was Instagram. I'm not sure.
So she will not be attending today, along with Nancy Pelosi, along with Michelle Obama. But that's okay, because it's about protecting, as the Philadelphia Inquirer wrote in that column from the first hour, it's about protecting your peace.
Yep.
Find inner peace in defeat.
Protect your peace, Don.
Protect your peace.
Protect your peace.
That's right. Protect your
talking
peace.
About
that's right.
Your peace?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like your firearm?
You know, she's going to make a great crisis actor one day.
All right, let's make way for the president-elect, who is in the on-deck circle. He's chatting with people in the YouTube chat already, so he's ready to go.
Woo!
Yeah.
Sean Farish will join us on the other side as we continue. Get ready for the best Trump impersonation on the planet. As we continue live this morning from the Newtown Athletic Club in Bucks County, Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, let me tell you about my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And we are talking today. It's a great day for this. The 2025 Hyundai Tucson, the brand's most popular SUV, bold new design with plenty of cargo space. And the standard all-wheel drive and great gas mileage will keep you prepared for any adventure. It also protects you and your family with a best-in-class safety rating. You can visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown right off of Route 422 or Piazza Hyundai of Westchester on Route 202. You can check them out online anytime. You can do it right now, right before Dawn starts to give her read, right before Sean Farish comes up. Do it right now, PiazzaHyundai.com, and tell them that Kale and Company sent you.
You know, when it comes to your home, trust is everything, isn't it? For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built such a great reputation for transforming kitchens with such precision and care. From the custom cabinets they create to the countertops, backsplashes, to those storage solutions, they get the job done and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality and without all the hassle. You can trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation, kitchenmagic.com. Kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.